You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Just to be clear, I am allowed to walk now, so don't be looking at me inappropriately because I'm not sitting. For those of you who don't know, I had a heart attack a week, last Thursday. Got a stent put in on Friday, priest on Sunday, but I had to sit. Now I'm allowed to stand. So, but enough about me. I want to kind of catch us up on this series, as you already saw in the intro video, as Kara talked about in the announcements. You know, we're coming back to who we are as a church, why we do the things that we do as a church, and why we all need to be a part of that. And the very first week, and it was called Simply Disciples, it was very... let me just say this. If you weren't here or didn't watch the live stream, please check it out. If you go to mc3church.org/simplymc3, you can watch that. The first week was called Simply Disciples. It's the first week of September. It's really the foundation to the rest of this series. And we walk through what we call the C3 process. And the short version of that is as we, almost 11 years ago, planted MC3, we're like, we want to start a church. We don't need another church. There's plenty of churches. But we said, if we're going to do something, we want to reach people that don't go to church. And so we said, let's look at what the Bible says about a church. And so Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47 was the very first description of the church. And we said, if we're going to plant a church, let's model our church after that church. And let's do things that way, not based on the way church should be, not based on the way American church should be or church anywhere, but what did the Bible say about the early church? And so we had this process. And again, I went through all of that in detail on week one of this series. But we talked about these three steps as we looked at this passage. I guess I should say the point for today is this, and we'll come to that some more. But we simply must worship God. We simply must worship God. Coming back to the core of who we are, as we looked at this Acts chapter 2 passage, now you can bring it up on the screen, we noticed some things. And last week we talked about how the church should be in community, how the early church was in relationship with one another. And so we as a church very intentionally say we have a ministry, we have a program for that, and it's called Prime Groups. And if you're a part of MC3, you need to be in one because we are created that way. And as we said last week, if I can do it, Yokawawa. You can't one another without one another, because we are called to one another, and you can't one another alone. We are created that way. God designed us that way. And so we have this thing called Prime Groups Community. And then as we looked at this passage some more, we discovered this, that the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were the church leaders. They were the ones that were, you know, that knew Jesus, frankly, in person. And they knew the Word of God, and they were able to teach it. So they were gathering together to be taught by a teacher. And then as we continue on in the passage, we notice that they, They continued to meet together. Go ahead and hit it one more time. They continued to meet together every day in the temple courts. Now, we don't have the temple, and there's a whole backstory to that, but that's in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was the temple. But that was the large group gathering place for the early church. So they gathered together regularly to worship, and then later it says that they praised God together. And so we said, okay, one of the things we see in the early church was this idea of gathering for worship, gathering together or congregating together. And we said, you know what, that sounds like something we should focus on as a church. And we called that congregation. And we said that this is a process of being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus. And again, if you're like, what is he talking about? The answer is week one. So we have congregation. You should be able to click that one more time. Yeah. And then... and then as a church, we said, if we're going to focus, if we think this is important to make disciples, then let's build our ministry programs around it. Instead of having a whole bunch of different ministries, we're going to focus on a few things, doing them well, so that there isn't this, what do I do? Oh, I'll tell you what to do. Prime groups. And then the second thing we have here with congregation is where you currently are with that we call the worship experience. And by the way, and I'm not here to bust on the church history, but we don't call it We don't call it a worship service because if we're honest, you're not really serving right now. Scott's serving. We've got ignition workers that are serving upstairs, but we don't call this a service. We're going to talk about serving next week. But this is a worship experience because worship is important. The early church gathered, they congregated together to be taught as a group and to worship together, to praise God together as a group. And so we said this is something that we want our church to be built upon small groups, upon prime groups and community, and also upon this idea of a worship experience where you're not just observing, you're not serving, but you're experiencing worship. And I would say that, you know, watching someone go swimming, which isn't really what happened there, but obviously there's a very deep experience that we just shared there. You know, people outside the church be, why, everybody's excited about someone swimming? No, actually, we were excited about people declaring that they're following Jesus. And so it's an experience, and we want you to engage. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. And also we talked about, by the way, the very first week of the series, we gave everybody a monkey. And if you didn't get a monkey, Scott has more monkeys back there. But again, they're apparently not monkeys because they don't have tails. But we talked about the barrel of monkey concept, that when it comes to making disciples, which is what we are called to do as the church. That was Jesus, what they call the Great Commission. He said, go make disciples of everyone. Make followers of mine. He said to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which we just did. But a disciple is a follower. And the issue is that with the barrel of monkeys, as we saw the scene from Toy Story, there weren't enough monkeys to reach the lost. There weren't enough monkeys to reach Buzz when he was lost, when he was outside of where they needed to be rescued. And you all had a monkey because you're all part of this process. And if you aren't a part of making disciples, then we're not going to have all that we need to reach the people that need to be rescued. So you can get that back there as well. But that's what this is about. So we're breaking this down. So this idea of worship, of congregation, of coming together, it's part of the early church. And it's what most churches, like when we think of church, this is what we think of. And I will just clarify that the church, we've said this so many times, the church isn't this building. This is a garage that has a major roof leak in the lobby. There also might be some critters that we may or may not have seen around the building that we are working on dealing with as well. If that were the church, then, man, God, you're not really that incredible. But the church is us, the followers of Jesus. And the story that God has worked in each of us through Jesus is an incredible story. So the people are the church, just to be clear about that. But most churches gather and worship. And so, as we said, we want to create something. And this idea of coming back to what are the core things about MC3? And that is that we simply must worship God. This isn't an option. And I'll just be clear. If you are a part of a small group, part of a prime group at MC3, and you sort of feel like, or if you're maybe watching online or listening right now, and you're like, you know what, that worship thing, that's not really my scene. I'm not emotional, so I'm not going to do that. You're not being who God has created you to be. You have to. This is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is to worship Him. So we simply must worship God. So I want to look at this passage that's in it's in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to turn on the house lights. If you have a paper Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 15. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So scroll down probably 2/3 of the way. And we're going to be in Matthew, tap on 15, and we're going to be there. But I want to explain something here. And that is that worship is about God. Worship is about God. Worship isn't about us. Worship isn't about feeling the feels. Worship isn't about, oh, that's a cool song, but that's not a cool song, therefore I'm not worshiping. Worship isn't about, oh, you know what, the roof is leaking, so I can't worship. Worship is about God. And the word worship comes from a Latin phrase that means worth-ship, which means to ascribe worth, to give value to someone. And one of the things I know, a couple weeks ago, the band had their Simply MC3 band kind of get together, reset for everything. And one of the things I know Kendra talked to the band about was there are some songs that you might hear on Christian radio that are amazing songs, and boy, they bring you to tears, and they're beautiful, and they're powerful, and they're like, oh, yes, Jesus, that's an amazing song. But the song isn't about God, and therefore, it's not a worship song. It's not that it's a bad song, but it's not worship, because worship is something we sing to God. We give God the honor. We ascribe the glory to Him. We sing to Him about what He has done in our lives. And the beautiful thing about worship, and I'm off my script already, the beautiful thing about worship is that we can worship even if we don't feel like it, because God is still good. And as I said last week, if I hadn't had that heart cath and they discovered the 80 to 95% block in what is called the widowmaker artery, I probably would be dead. I just happened to go in to the hospital. And one of the things that happened when you hear those stories, people are like, oh, God is good. God is good. They found it and they saved you. You know what? If I didn't survive, God is still good. And God is still worthy of our worship. And that's what worship is saying, God, you are incredible. It's about God. So Jesus had this little confrontation with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are the religious leaders at the time. And he had this little issue because they made worship, frankly, about themselves. Now, they would never admit that, but they had made worship about themselves. And so in Matthew chapter 15, the first thing that we see here, and I'll read the passage in a second, but the first thing is that these Pharisees had made up this idea, the religious leaders had come up with this idea that doing good things is worship. Doing good things is worship. But doing good things is not worship. And again, in modern day, you know, what are we, 20, I don't know what century it is anymore. It's 2022. Is this the 21st century? I guess that is. You know, in modern day, we're like, oh, well, I did a good thing. Therefore, a good thing, a good deed. I was nice to someone. I helped a little old lady cross the street. She didn't want to cross the street, but it didn't matter. I took her across anyway. But, you know, we have this idea of I did a good thing, and therefore I'm good. I'm worshiping. And that's actually not worship. Good things are good things, but they're not worship. And so in the first part of this passage, in verses 1 to 2, it says, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Jesus had kind of grown in popularity. He was talking to people, sharing the message of hope that he is offering. And your Bible translation may say Pharisees and scribes. Just for the record, the scribes were people that just record. They didn't have printers. They didn't have scanners. And so there was someone that would just simply rewrite the Bible over and over and over and hand them out to people or whatever. It was the Old Testament that they had then. And so because they rewrote it over and over and over, they were known as experts, even though they had no real title, because they were so familiar with it. So these guys, to be honest, had no right to even be involved in the conversation. Like, sorry, you're just the copy boy. Your job is to be making copies, and that's it. And if you laughed at that, you are old like me. Anyway, was that Adam Sandler, I think? No, David Spade. Anyway, Pauly Shore? I don't know. Okay, focus. So that wasn't their job. And so these people come to Jesus, and they're the religious leaders, the Pharisees are, and they said to ask him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? He's like, wait a second. God, Jesus, your followers aren't following the rules. They're not doing this good thing, this age-old tradition. This is the way it's done. When it comes to worship, this is how it should be done. And he says, for they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. And now, you know, we're in a post-COVID era. The idea of washing your hands is not considered a bad thing. But this wasn't a matter of washing hands to get the germs before you ate your food. This was a ceremonial thing that the religious leaders would do, and it would take them a long time, and they would wash every part, and they would do it in a showy way. And then they would wash the dishes, and they would wash the utensils, and it was this whole long thing, and the point of it was to show everyone else how spiritual they were. And the longer you took to wash the dishes, the more spiritual you are. So apparently there are some children in my family that are more spiritual than others because they take a lot longer to wash the dishes. But this whole thing was about show. It was about to say, look how amazing I am. And to be clear, here's the crazy thing, right? This ceremony actually came from part of the Old Testament law. it was what God had originally told the Israelites to do, but they kind of amped it up and added their parts to it and added more to it to not make it an issue of purity before God, but of amazingness before others. And so they're like, Jesus, why aren't your people doing this thing? And Jesus didn't even answer the question. He actually turns it on them. He's like, oh yeah? Well, what about this? And so the first thing was that doing good things is not worship, because Jesus did not even answer their question, because what they were doing, even though it was a good thing, it wasn't worship, because they were doing it for the sake of everyone else to see how amazing they were, because worship is about God, not about you and looking impressive. The second thing is that doing spiritual things is not worship. And here's the crazy thing is that, you know, especially in modern day, you know, people be like, oh, that, you know, we have these spiritual moments. We feel something. And there's nothing wrong with feeling something. And we feel and maybe, wow, that song really moved me. And what an incredible occasion. And God is so good. And what powerful worship that was. But the problem is on the flip side, if you're not feeling the feels, does that mean you can't worship? And that's a dangerous place to be. And we have this idea, oh, well, you do understand that I have perfect attendance on Sunday morning. Actually, I was just mentioning that. Like, it's kind of weird. Not that I... Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. But like, people are like, oh, I went to church, so I did a spiritual thing. Oh, I carried my Bible with me to work, and I put it in the break room, and they saw my Bible. So, that's not worship. There's nothing wrong with that. But the idea of saying, I just showed up, or... you know, oh, I sang that song. I lifted my hand while I was singing. Lifted the other hand because my arteries started to go weird. That's not worship. Because worship is about God. It's not about doing spiritual things. And so, as the passage continues, Jesus kind of goes back to them. He's like, well, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandment of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of his father or mother must be put to death. And Jesus is like dropping the gauntlet there. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, kids, any age, is it time to die? Anyway, but that was part of the Old Testament law, and we don't have time to get into that. We actually talked about that at the beginning of our Cropped 2 series last spring and why that law was the way it was. But Jesus is just bringing up an example. For instance, this is the law. We're supposed to honor you. If you're so big about following the rules, you're supposed to honor your parents. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, Mom. I can't help you, Dad. For I have vowed to give God what I would have given to you. And that's spiritual. Sorry, I can't help you, Dad. Because I'm giving it to the Lord. Do you want to take from the Lord? Is that what you want? No. No. We don't want to do that. I mean, in your prime groups this week, yeah, we're starting a DVD series, a digital video disc. They're actually little physical things you put in the machine. And Tommy and I were watching it the other day, just trying to catch up to what the prime groups are going to be doing. And we fast-forwarded through the prayer at the end. And I felt, like, sort of guilty. Like, am I allowed to fast-forward through a prayer that was recorded 12 years ago? But because we were just trying to get to the end, we weren't watching the video. But it's that same kind of thing. It's that guilt trip. Like, I vowed this to the Lord. Dad, you're not going to take from the Lord. Mom, this is for the Lord. The thing is, though, their law had said, if you say that I'm dedicating this amount of money to God, you did not have to give it to your parents then. And that's what he says. In this way, you say you don't need to honor your parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. And this sounds so spiritual. And Jesus even says later, if you're not willing to give up your own father and mother and your own life to follow me, then you're not worthy of being my follower. But that's not what this was about. Because here's the little asterisk, the little footnote that came with their rule, is that if I say I'm devoting this, I'm dedicating this money to the Lord, and I don't have to give it to you, I can use it however I want, and eventually maybe I'll give it to the Lord down the road. So it just kind of sets it aside. It's kind of like a little future God nest egg. It's God's 401k. That I guess when I'm gone, he can have it. But I'm allowed to use it now as long as I say I devoted it to the Lord. And so it's this loophole that says, I'm doing this amazing spiritual thing, but really it was all about the Pharisees, the religious leaders, finding a way to not actually have to worship and honor God. And so Jesus turns it on them and says, look, guys, spiritual, doing spiritual things is not worship. And I think that's so important for us to remember that, you know, if you're watching or listening online, even going, oh, I listened to it, I'm good. That's not worship. That's a part of it. But worship is about our hearts and worship is about God. And it's so important that we don't miss this thing. And I'm just telling you the reason this is so important, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, is because outside of the Bible, if you grew up knowing the Bible, if you know what the Word of God says, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the letters, all that, we kind of understand what worship is. But outside of the church world, worship means so many different things. And especially if you look at TV, like the examples of followers of Jesus in TV and movies are horrible. They're people that you don't want to be like because that's the way it always is. Or that's the way those people are. They're hypocrites, whatever. And we're actually going to say that word in just a moment. But we have to be aware that outside of the world, outside of the church, people are bringing those concepts of worship, of good deeds, in and saying that's worship, and it's not. That's why I'm just saying we need to be aware of what is the Bible, what does Jesus say about what worship is? And worship is about God, not about doing spiritual things. And spiritual things are good. And coming and being a part of this is good. It's important. That's why we created this, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But that isn't in itself worship. And so Jesus kind of says, you cancel the Word of God for the sake of your own traditions. You're not even willing to help your own parents because you'd rather spend it on yourselves. But you call it something spiritual, and so you're good. And so the third thing that Jesus says, and here's the crazy thing, right? Saying worshipful things is not worship. And can I don't mean this in a bad way. And I'm glad that our band works so hard and practices for hours every week and to give God the best, and that their hearts, they focus, they pray more than probably many of the ministry teams, because it's all about leading us into the presence of God, leading us to God. But saying or singing the songs is not worship. If you were in here this morning and you followed along and sang all the words, that is not worship. Because if you were just reciting the script on the screen, your heart was not giving God the glory. And do you see that distinction? Because if we're just singing words to get through to, you know, when can I watch football? When can I watch the Giants win another one? They won last week. What? Anyway, and then there's Penn State, but I'm not going to get excited. We don't get excited anymore, okay? It's like we don't talk about Bruno, we don't talk about Fight Club, and we don't get excited about Penn State. But why am I saying worshipful? So, because when we come in here to sing, it's not about the words on the screen. It's because the words on the screen are designed to draw us to Jesus, to point us to God. And so if all you're doing is saying the words, you're not worshiping. If your heart is engaged in recognizing how great God is, then that is worship. Do you see the distinction there? I hope you do. I don't want you to be coming in like, I'm not allowed to say the words because then I won't be worshiping. No, it's a matter of our heart and who are we singing? To whom are we singing? To whom are we saying those words? If we're just like, our hearts, they cry, be glorified, be lifted high, above all things. Like, that's not worship. That's just reading stuff on a screen. And so that's what Jesus says here. And this is kind of rough, some rough words here. He shares to the religious leaders. These are the religious leaders. These are like, of their time, these are the pastors and the elders. These are the ones in charge of the old covenant of the Jewish church, if you will. It wasn't the church, but... and he said to them, you hypocrites! You hypocrites! That is based on a Greek word. The Greek word is Hippocrates. And that Greek word means literally under a mask. You guys are under a mask. He said Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah was talking about you. He said, these people honor me with their lips. They say the words, they show up in the spiritual building and do the worshipful things, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. Their worship is a joke. Their worship is invalid. It's fake. It's wrong. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. And so Jesus hits these religious leaders and says, your worship is messed up because you think it's about the words you say or the actions that you do that are spiritual, but worship is about our hearts giving God the honor and glory. And that is what worship is all about. Worship is about God. It's not about the words we say. It's about our hearts. And it also means, let's just be clear, like how many times do we say like, oh, I came into worship and then I left and I've got, 6 days and 22 hours till I get to worship again. Worship is way bigger than that. And we don't have time to get into that right now. Worship is everything we do that honors God, that points to Him, that gives Him glory. But understand that we said we want to create a church where people gather to worship. And we want to create an environment where people not just sing songs, but can engage. And there's a reason we do things. And I know for some, like especially if this is your first time at MC3, you're like, that is really loud. One of the things we found is that when the music is quiet, people won't sing. Not because they don't love God, but because they're like, I don't want to hear my voice, and I don't want them to hear my voice. So like, if we can create a little bit of a louder environment so that people feel more comfortable expressing their worship, engaging their hearts, because that would be also a problem too, that if we didn't allow you an opportunity to worship God from your heart because it was awkwardly quiet, or, the band prepares hard, not because they can be awesome, not so that we can say, they're so good, but so that they don't become a distraction to your worship for God. Because, I've had this experience. Let me just ask you this. Let me put it this way. Have you ever been to a middle school recital? Because if you've been to a middle school recital, even if it's your own kids, you're never going, oh, look at them play. You're going like, oh, don't mess up. Oh, are they good? And I've been at a middle school recital where halfway through the song, the girl that was playing messed up so much she just stopped and walked away. And you're like, what do you do with that? Like, okay. And so the reason the band works hard is so that they're not a distraction. So you're not going, oh, I hope they don't screw that up. And they're not perfect. We're not saying that. But all that is because the goal of the worship experience is to point people, to point us, to point our hearts to God. Because worship is not about, it's not doing good things, it's not doing spiritual things, and it's not saying worshipful things. Those things aren't worship. The way you do a good thing can become worship. Doing spiritual things in a way that is worshipful can be worship. And saying worshipful things from a heart that's worshiping God can be worship. So just understand that it's more than just those things. And we've been walking through in this series our core values as a church. Kara said 11:15, and I distinctly changed that this time. It said at least 11:20 to be done. So she scratched that out. Wishful thinking. We've been going through our core values as a church, and these are the guide. This is our process. This is how we make disciples. But we also said, what are the guardrails? What are the things that keep us focused? And one of our core values as a church is called Vertically, and you can find them all at that website there. But this core value says that God is the center of the universe. God is everything. He is the goal. So we value anything that takes the focus from ourselves and places it on Him where it belongs. Because God is the center. God is the goal. God is the one that we should worship. And if you finish the Sunday going, oh, that band was awesome, unfortunately, the band missed it. If you walk out of here going, oh, that speaker was awesome, you probably won't. You'll probably walk out of here going, that speaker was long. But then we've missed it because the goal should be God. But this is one of our values, and I just wanted you to know that that's why we do that. So I want to, that's what worship is about. Worship is from our hearts. Now I want to kind of take a right-hand turn here and take you in a slightly different direction, talking about the worship experience, why this is what it is, why we do what we do. Because again, this series is about coming back to who we are as a church. And these are the things we walked through 11 years ago when MC3 was originally planted. And so the point is that we simply must worship God. And so I want to talk to you about why what you're a part of right now looks the way it does. Because for the most part, it's intentional. For the most part, everything we do is on purpose because worship is the goal. And so there's this passage, and you can, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts 15. You can go to the Acts 15 in the YouVersion app. I'm not going to read the whole passage because, you know, we're going to be done eventually. And it's a very long passage in Acts chapter 15, 1 to 35. But the context of this story is that the early church, the church has been growing now. People are sharing the message of Jesus, and more people are starting to follow Jesus, and it's growing and it's spreading. And one of the things that's happening, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but Jesus and the original disciples, they were Jewish. And so their experience was Jewish law, and as we already saw, the Pharisees had added all these rules to it. But that's how they understood worship. That's how they understood following Jesus. And so there was this tension, because the Jewish law required, for people to say that they're following God, required circumcision. And you know, if you're a lady, you're like, no big deal. Let's do that. Whatever. I'm fine. Huh? But the guys weren't so fan. They weren't as much of a fan about that. Because what was happening is that the Jewish Christians, the Jewish followers of Jesus, were like, well, wait a second. If these people, and these were people that weren't Jewish, non-Jewish people called Gentiles started following Jesus. And they were like, well, wait a second. If they're following Jesus, they should be circumcised because that's what Jews do. That's what good Jewish people do. And it created this little tension going like, well, wait a second. Are they or are they not supposed to be circumcised? How does this work? Because this isn't the Old Testament law. They're not following the Old Testament rules. And again, we talked about that last spring. And if you have questions, we can talk about that. You can ask me about it later. But we're not supposed to follow these Old Testament rules. But the Jewish people, like, that was their tradition. We have traditions. You have different traditions that you do. I remember, you know, one of the ones when we first got married that worked out pretty well. But tradition was, you know, you don't all open Christmas presents at the same time. You do it one at a time. That was a tradition that I grew up with. That's how we did it. And when I married Kendra, that's how her family did it. So it was great. But if her family didn't, we'd be like, well, wait a second. What about my tradition? What about your tradition? And so, you know, we do that with a bunch of different things, you know, whatever they look like. And so that was the issue with the Jewish religious people. We're like, we're following Jesus now, but we have this tradition. How does it work? So it says here in verse 1, it says, while Paul and Barnabas, they were guys, missionaries, spreading, church planters actually, spreading the message of Jesus around the area. While they were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers, the followers of Jesus, unless you are circumcised by the law of Moses, you can't be saved, or you can't go to heaven, or Jesus won't be able to do the thing in your heart until you're circumcised. You won't be able to make it to heaven. And it says Paul and Barnabas disagree with them, because they were all followers of Jesus, but just different backgrounds. Paul and Barnabas disagree with them, arguing vehemently. Finally, the church decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. So they go to Jerusalem, which is where the center of everything started. So let's bring the leaders together and let's have a conversation. And so it goes on and says, when they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul are welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. And the apostles were the ones that were with Jesus when he was on the earth. They reported everything that God had done to them. They're like, wow, what an amazing story. People that are not Jewish are following Jesus now. Their heart, he's turning their hearts too. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees, these were Pharisees now, the ones Jesus gave a hard time to, some of them had turned to Jesus now. They had changed their hearts, but their background was still what it was. And they stood up and insisted the Gentile or non-Jewish converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. They need to follow these rules. So then the apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. It goes on and says, at the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood up and addressed everyone. This is Peter, like, deny Jesus, Peter, walk on water, Peter. Peter who stood up at the very beginning after Jesus left and 3,000 people started following Jesus, Peter. So this is Peter. He's a big deal. He talks to them about the things that they have seen God do. And then he picks up here and says, God made no distinction between us, meaning Jewish people, and them, meaning not Jewish people. For he cleansed their hearts through faith, not through circumcision, not through doing something, but through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? Peter is saying, gentlemen, We know that God saves everyone through their faith. Why are we asking them to do this thing that we didn't like to do either? That's the modern day translation. Why are we asking them to bear something that we didn't want to do it ourselves? We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. And then it goes on. It says, everyone listen quietly. Then Barnabas and Paul told everyone about the miraculous signs and wonders and things that God had done through them among the non-Jewish people. And then when they had finished, and this is the point, finally there. When they had finished, James stood and said, and he shared some things, and he said, looking at this whole situation, this is James, the brother of Jesus, James. This is James, the writer of the book of James. He says, is my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. And that kind of ended the conversation. They're like, you know what? We want to do everything we can to make it easy for people to come to Jesus. And we're not going to add rules. We're not going to add layers. We're not going to add uncomfortable things to make them to have to do in order to follow God. He said, it's my judgment that we should not make it difficult for people to turn to God. And so this passage, this idea of saying, as a church today in 2022, or a church planted in 2011, we want to make a church where it is not difficult for people to turn to God. We want to make an opportunity so that it is easy. We're not adding barriers or layers so that people feel like, oh, I need to do this and then I can go to church. I need to do this and then I can turn to Jesus. And so we have a core value that we call differently. And it reads this way, change. Sometimes it takes different methods to reach people far from God. So we value taking risks by looking at things differently. Because if we're going to reach people, and you're going to hear more about this in your prime groups this week, if we're going to reach people that don't go to church, and they don't go to any church, we can't just do what other churches are doing, because if they were going to go to the church, they would go to those churches, and they don't need this church. So we're going to do things differently so that people do not have a barrier, so that we can make it not difficult for people who are trying to turn to God. And so... this idea of different, but not difficult. I have a pitcher of water here. It is, for the most part, clear, a clear water. And I want you to understand this, especially, you know, for all of us. This is the message of Christ. It is clear. It is undiluted. Well, I guess water is always diluted, but whatever you call that. It's uncontaminated. It is the truth. And as a church, as followers of Jesus, but as a church, we said we want to create a church where we can take this message and share it with people. And we're not changing the message. And I want you to understand that. We're not watering down the truth, although it's already water. We're not tainting it. We're not contaminating it. It is the same pure truth of the Word of God. It is the same pure truth of the message that Jesus came to save sinners like you and me by dying on the cross and taking our punishment on himself that we deserve and giving us hope for heaven. The message doesn't change. But as a church, we said, we're going to make it so it's not difficult for people to turn to God. And so we are going to take this message, and for kids, for infants, we're going to take this message and we're going to package it in a way that is relevant to them. Now, what does that mean in our nursery? They're not doing a sermon. They're not having them read we're going to study Leviticus chapter 4 and then come back together and discuss. But they are allowing these kids to feel love, to be loved and maybe understand the unconditional love of God. And they're allowing you, if you have infants, to be here to worship yourself. Not to worship yourself, but yourself to worship. And so that's what we have. And then we also said, you know, we've got toddlers, we've got preschool kids, and we're going to take the same message, the same pure message, and we're going to pour it into something that's relevant to them, to a sippy cup. And our kids in Ignition, our preschoolers, they are learning the exact same thing right now that you are learning in this room. But it's being packaged a little bit differently. They're probably not talking about circumcision. But it's in a way that they understand it. But if the message is still true, it's just in a different package. And then we said, okay, we've got kids. We've got our elementary kids. And we take the same truth and package it in a way.
Whoa.
Sometimes kids are a little out of control. Package it in a way that's relevant to them. The message hasn't changed, but we're doing it in a way because we're, you know, if we were to teach it in a, if we were to treat them like infants, they would have problems understanding what Jesus' love is all about. If we treated them the same way we do right with as adults, they would also have that problem. But we're packaging it in a way that kids understand. And then we've got, for students, we have Student Prime. And they're taking, they're learning the exact same things during their Prime groups, Student Prime during the week, that we learn in here. And the truth hasn't changed, but it's packaged in a different way. The leaders talk to them differently. They're kind of in that transitional spot, you know that, almost adults. Talk to them like adults, but have some fun with them because they're kids. But we package that in a way that they understand. And then you've got, you know, adults. And we're going to take the message and we're going to package it. Same message, hasn't changed yet. I have not once tainted it. But we're just pouring it into a different package because I guess adults drink travel coffee mugs. I really couldn't figure out the best thing here. And we do that. But then as a church, we're like, what if we take it one step further? Because sometimes there's people that are a little bit unusual and odd. And I don't know if you can tell, but the bottom of this is not round. It's got a handle in a weird spot. And people feel like, I can't fit in. I don't know the church rules. I don't know those routines. I don't understand how that stuff's supposed to work. We said, that's okay, because we're gonna take this message and we're going to package it in a way for people that don't go to church, that don't understand how it's supposed to be in church on a Sunday morning in worshiping. And then even those that are broken. Those that are broken, maybe they consider themselves to be cheap, worthless, messed up, used. So that's okay. The message matters to you as well. And so we said we're going to do things as a church that are different, not just for the sake of being different, but because there are different needs that people have. And we want to reach people that don't go to church. We want to reach people that are out there, that are not plugged in, that don't know the hope of Jesus. And it's going to require us to do things a little bit differently and to do things in a way that's not the way it's always been done at every church. And there's nothing wrong with those churches that do things the way they've always been done, but that's not our goal. We want to make disciples of people that don't know Jesus. And so we repackage, and we're doing things in a different way so that they understand. And so let me just quickly here share a couple of things and why we do what we do. One thing is a comfortable environment. And none of these rhyme or line up, you know, with letters or alliteration or anything. But we're like, if we're going to reach people that don't go to church, we need a comfortable environment. And by comfortable, we mean, you know, having air conditioning. Like, we didn't have air conditioning at the beginning. That definitely was an issue. You know, people were like, hey, suck it up and deal. Well, I don't want to suck it up and deal because I don't want to go to church. So that's enough for me. But we try things, you know, like having air conditioning and heat. We like to have a clean building and clean restrooms as much as we can. It's a garage. We'll talk about that in a second. We have coffee available. It's a little thing. Well, coffee doesn't matter that much. No, but it's one of those things like, and here's the crazy thing. Sometimes people are more willing to be in a room that they've never been in if they're holding something in their hands. It's a weird psychological thing. I'm safe here without it. I'm like, I'm exposed. Okay, I'm okay. And so it's just a little thing. We have a first impressions team, bright orange shirts. They hate the shirts. They hate them. But the goal isn't for them to like them. The goal is for you to notice them. So that if you have a need, there's people that are there right away, ready to help you. There's people welcoming you into the parking lot. Why? Because you don't know how to park because you're idiots? No. To say, you belong here. Come in. We're here for you. We're meeting you at the parking lot. So, a comfortable environment. Another thing is an accommodating style. Our music is a little bit more lively than perhaps you would hear in other churches because most people aren't familiar with church music anymore. So we're going to do it in a way that, I don't know those words, but I get the beat. I understand the rhythm. If you come back the first week in October, we also do some songs that perhaps aren't Christian songs, because they tie to the point. We sang Living on a Prayer when we talked about prayer. A bunch of us wrapped up here last fall. And first week of October, we're going to start a new series. We're going to have a little fun with that, too. But doing it away, I am intentionally wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Why? Because sometimes people are like, oh, I could never go to church because I don't have a suit. This isn't the church for that. We want you to feel comfortable the way you are. We want people to feel comfortable. I need to go faster. We meet in a garage on purpose. People are like, when are you going to build a new building? Never. A number of years ago, there was a fire across the street and all the fire equipment was in our parking lot. And people were calling like, is the church on fire? Is the church on fire? And that is one of my biggest fears because I don't want to rebuild this because we can't. It would be nice and fancy. And we don't want nice and fancy. There's nice and fancy and there's nothing wrong with that. But we want to bring people that walk in the door going, hey, all right, I can do this. I can handle this. It's in town on purpose because we want to be here, not in the burbs. Another thing we do is helping families. And, oh, it's really late. This recording is going to stop, too. But we were like, we want to really help families, not just, hey, come and drop your kids off for some babysitting. But we want to help you as a parent raise your kids because it's hard. I got four teenagers still for just another month. And then I'll have three teenagers and a 20-year-old. No. What do you mean yes? That's what I said. You're agreeing with me. Okay. So I know how old my kids are. I have other ones, too. I'm sure their names are here somewhere. But we were like, we want to help families, not just say drop your kids off for babysitting and then you can go out together. And that's why it's on purpose. And Nikki shared this a couple weeks ago when we had our Ignition promotion. Ignition is teaching the exact same things in a different package so that your kids and you can get in the car on the way home and you can ask them, hey, what's worship all about? And depending on what age they are and how much they grasp, they might even break out. Well, look, do you happen to have a napkin or a chalkboard? Because I know they've been walking through that. Because we want you to be able to have conversations together about the Word of God, about the Bible. MC3 student partners with parents. You know, as a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for a decade, and it's very easy to go back. It's very easy to kind of have this competition, like I'm cooler than your parent, like me better, and let's hate them together. And that's not at all the design of MC3 student. And I can tell you stories, not just as lead pastor of MC3, but also as a dad, of watching the things that God has done through them because we're coming together as a family. And people need to know that they've got support. They've got help. Another thing is communicating clearly. We clearly communicate when we're going to end every morning. Yeah, that part isn't. I mean, we clearly communicate it, whether it's accurate. But on purpose, I mean, I have a bachelor's degree in Bible and a master's degree in Christian education. If you want, I could drop theological terms on you like nobody's business. I could share with you. I could forget even talking about the English and just talk Greek because the New Testament was written in Greek. And I'm not saying that's because I'm awesome and smart. I'm just saying there's an intentional decision to communicate in a way that people understand because there are words like, how much do you know about propitiation? Does anybody know what that word is? Have you ever heard it before? Propitiation is essential to your hope for heaven. But we could also say it's the fact that Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Makes a little more sense that way. And it's a matter of saying, we're going to communicate clearly. The teachers in Ignition are communicating clearly, everyday language. We call this a worship experience, not a service, because we already said that, because we want people to engage and experience God. And then finally, serving extravagantly. One of the things, and I'm sure you guys know this, and we say this, and I'm not tooting our own horn, because we are not perfect. But aren't we tired? I think our world, our country definitely is tired of churches saying how much they're doing for other people, but never actually doing anything. And so we said, if we're going to design a church, we want it to be different. We want to actually serve. We want to actually care for people. We want to actually meet needs. And we're going to talk more about that next Sunday.